Sunday morning, church of what's happened now. Welcome. If you're awake, wake the fuck up. If you're not awake, wake the fuck up. It's the church of what's happened now. The church of what's happened now. Sunday morning, before fucking church edition. You hear what I'm doing with my man Leland.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening, beautiful? A lot of people said to put a camera on you. I said you didn't want a fucking camera on you. That you want to be like the neighbor in the Tim Allen show, whatever.
I got warrants in Jerusalem.
That's right. I hope you guys are doing fucking fine. We're going to spark the fucking holy smoke. The church of what's happening now is in full fucking effect. Everything's beautiful. I had a great weekend up at the fucking Ice House. We did Friday. We did Saturday. Stanhope showed up drinking vodkas. I fucking loved that guy.
Oh, that was amazing. I watched it this morning when I got home from work, and it's just... When he was talking about Arizona, I thought of you. I don't think you're going to move to Arizona, but just the entire way he was talking about his town, I could, like, with you or Tennessee or wherever you'd go, I could imagine you doing that in a few years.
Fuck you. I don't want to live, you know, secluded and stuff like that. But it's hysterical because what a lot of people don't know is that Doug Stanhope really helped me move to Los Angeles about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Stanhope since 91, and... We met in Boulder at the Boulder Broker Joker when I was starting to do comedy at first. And he fucking stayed at my house twice, and he came back. He was on Evening at the Improv, and we became friends, and we kept in touch. And then I forgot what, you know, I forgot his number or some shit, and I was living in Seattle by that time. And he had won San Francisco comedy competition, and he was fucking huge. And he came up, and we did New Year's, and he asked me to come back to L.A. with him, and I was like, I don't fucking think so. And then, as I was ready to come move down here from fucking Seattle, they didn't want me to leave. Like, they put, like, this phony warrant up, so I had to wait an extra fucking couple of weeks. But when I got here, I stayed with Stanhope. He got me into the fucking Comedy Store. So that's what a lot of people don't know. So I had a great time up there. Testicle Testaments was great. Testicle Testaments, the taping, was great on Wednesday night. We talked about Juan.
That was amazing, man. I mean, it's getting better and better. I mean, if you guys don't know, Joey does his stories, Testicle Testaments, every last Wednesday of the month.
Last Wednesday of the month.
And I'm very lucky because I, like, the week before, Joey takes me to a coffee shop. And we're just talking, but he goes through the story with me. And it's, especially this one about your stepdad was just, it was unbelievable. Like, you got emotional. You becoming a father now, it's kind of amazing to think about.
No, I came back at Spin's Eye. You know, it was weird because he was like my father. He was my father. He's the only father I ever knew. So I always think about him. I find myself doing shit in the daytime. And I'm like, that's something Juan would do or whatever. But besides that, the church was happening. Now, we're going to come to you live every fucking week. Every week, twice a week. Monday mornings about 6 a.m. Wednesday mornings about 6 a.m. A little bit of music. Talk about some shit. You know, talk about the rules of what's happening now. A lot of people don't know about the church of what's happening now, how it was invented. Church of what's happening now is a code I fucking live off, okay? You ever have these people and they come up to you and they start breaking your balls about shit, and you listen to what they're telling you, and you're like, either this guy's a fucking phony or he's out of his fucking mind. You know, talking to you about, well, in 1972, you know, dolphins were going to be extinct. Who gives a fuck, guy? You mean to tell me you're really interested about shit, or you're just talking about this shit to be fucking interesting? The church of what's happening now avoids all that shit. Rule number one of the church of what's happening now is mind your fucking business. Rule number two, mind your fucking business. Rule number three, mind your fucking business. What that means altogether is nothing bad will happen if you don't mind your fucking business. That's number one. Just mind it. Number two of the church was happening now. Whatever they think they're expecting from you, give them something fucking different. If they're expecting an eye poke, kick them in the fucking ear or kick them in the nutsack or something. Something completely different here. Look at these Twitter fucking monkey Todd. He's a savage. These motherfuckers don't sleep on Twitter.
You know what? It's amazing. They're up all night. I'm up all night. It's crazy. Especially with you with 70,000 followers.
I come home at 1 in the fucking morning. You just put say hello on there. There's 92 million fucking hits on there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We created our own little fucking world with the internet. And I hated it for a long time because I thought it was a bunch of young kids on there playing the drums.
Jumping up and down. What the fuck they're doing. And it's amazing because we wouldn't be here without them.
Mm-mm.
We started out with Matt Flavor's World. We did the CD. We did the documentary.
And fucking Facebook. Look at the stock is going down. Facebook's full of fucking ads. You can smell the twins on there. What are those two twins doing? Then they buy a house. They're selling the house. And
oh, the Winklevoss twins. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Fucking
yeah.
Winky Voss twins. These fucking momos.
I'm surprised you even knew about them. I was trying to think of who you're talking about.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with, dog? I seen Social Network, bitch. I seen it a couple times. I can't put up with the guy that plays the thief. I like Justin Timberlake. What's the kid's name that plays the fucking thief and that shit?
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah, he always has a look on his face like somebody fucking farted.
Oh,
speaking about fucking farting, we finished the podcast the other day. Let's go get some fucking coffee or something. Now, the whole morning, you know, before you need to shit, like, we're getting up early right now, so I'm not even in my shit zone. The shit zone starts about 7:30, 7:45, right before church. So it's early, so I got to eat breakfast first, drink a few cups of coffee, maybe smoke a number, and I'm ready to take a fucking dumpster. And I walk outside with Lee, and I had to rip one. I didn't want to go in this car. You ever have somebody farting and bring the fucking fart into their fucking, into your car? Nothing pisses me off more than that when somebody farts in the hallway and they bring it in. Air it out there. So I blow this fucking tremendous fart like I'm going to blow right now. Listen. Just like that, I blow a fucking number. But you can't... Lee heard it in the car.
Oh, my God. So I heard it in the car.
I'm a fucking real Jew. I'm not going to go in there with that ass stink around my muffler. I'm out there airing the leg out. I'm pumping it like a fucking dog. And as I look, I see a lady about 30 feet away.
And she's about 90 years old, like a Spanish grandmother. And she's walking as slowly... Like, picture any old woman walking across the street, that's her.
I get into the fucking car, and I go, Lee, this poor lady's about to walk into the fog of fucking death. Right? And sure enough, as she walks into the zone, I see her pick her head up and just start going like this, like she smells it.
Now, and she made a face that was perfect.
Perfect. Now, if you were inside the house and somebody smelled your fart, that's one thing. But when you're outside, there's air and trees and chlorophyll, and it sucks up the farts and shit like that, and you still bump into a fart, that was a fucking good fart. What about the one I just kicked right in?
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
There's no, you're going to have to throw that chair out. But that, it didn't, what you just said, it didn't even give it justice. That woman, her face turned up, and she was waving at the air like it was mustard gas or something. It wasn't just, oh, that's a bad-smelling fart. She was, you probably ruined her day.
Let me tell you something, people. I hope you're up. Don't forget, let's say church starts at 7:30. It's 6:18 right now. It's 9:18 on the East Coast. Either you're walking out of church, you're going to fucking Denny's to stand online like a mook, or you're going to go out to your car, smoke a number, and think about whatever the fuck the priest or the fucking deacon or the fucking rabbi had to say. Well, the Jews go to church yesterday, whatever the fuck, temple. That's special. They go to temple with Prince, you know what I'm saying? So, like right now today, I got to get the fuck out of here in about an hour. I go in there, I see Padre throw a fucking blessing on him, put a couple dollars in the basket. I'm out of there in a fucking half hour. But who else comes on before church to get you ready mentally for what the fuck they're going to talk about?
Only Joey Diaz.
Like today, what the fuck they're going to talk about? Fucking Peter and Paul. I don't give a fuck. I've heard the story 80 times. But I go, I take a couple rips off this, and that's it. It's all over but the fucking shot. And the funny thing was, now that's tremendous. Loving the church of what's happening now. I heard the fart here in Wales. Now, technology. You understand me? That's how my muffler, I got the, people always say, Joey, speak closer to the fucking microphone. These are airtight fucking microphones. You can talk anywhere in the room, they get you. It's like a fucking FBI microphone.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of which, man, let me tell you something. I watched some college football. What a lot of people don't know is one of the kids I grew up with is now the head defensive coordinator of Penn State, Jesus Christ, of Miami.
Really?
Yeah, they fucking won big yesterday. That was pretty good. I watched that for a little while. But there's no pro today, right?
No, it starts next week.
Now, let me explain something to you. Let's say you're a pro fucking gambler, professional gambler. You're getting up right now. The first game could be at 2. Who gives a fuck? You're getting up now. You're going to get your day started. You're going to look at the paper. You're going to go online, see who's hurt. You're going to do some fucking voodoo, maybe throw a curse on the fucking quarterback. And you're up early. Fuck watching those dumb TV shows. They're steering you to a fucking loser, those cocksuckers. They're the kiss of death. You don't see them putting no fucking bets on nothing. So now you're getting up, you're getting early. That shit don't start this week. Next week is the fucking killer. All these NFL junkie motherfuckers will be up, ready to rock. Where's my cats at? These motherfuckers. These are the treats they like right here. Fucking Temptations. It tastes like milk or whatever. They got all different flavors. Look at them. Nobody's getting conned into this shit. These little cocksuckers. They got up early with me. I got up. There was like 2 of them up already.
Oh, yeah. You said they're up all night.
Well, they're up all night. If they get encouragement, at like 4, they tap out. They go, fuck it. There's nobody here to rock the house. Where's Uncle Joey? Where's the bartender? But I tell you what. You have no idea when you come home at night, you have cats. because this motherfucker's, listen, my wife goes to bed at 9 o'clock. It's not even my wife I'm worried about. It's the fucking cats. I come home, I got a female cat that just sits there and harasses me. You want to lower that shit in there? What are you going to do? Things are bad all over. I just bumped my earphone. Hey, where the fuck are these cats at? I got to get some Fidel. Get over here. One of you little fuckers. Get over here and shit. I got treats I'm giving out. Come here, Davey. Come here, Davey. Temptations treats. I got the fucking... Check this shit out. I got... Ah, motherfucker. There's my boy. See, he's all scared, Davey. I don't know what his problem is. There you go, Davey. I got the cat by good. Myself.
Yeah, once one comes in, they all come in.
Yeah, no, they come in to see me. Now, the one guy's nervous. You should have called me. I would have opened the door for you. When you knock, he goes fucking bananas.
Okay.
Come here, Harry. Say hello to the people at home, cocksucker. Come here. Knuckle sandwich. Get over here. This is what happens early in the morning. You got to say hello to the cats, the animals. Another thing, it's fucking Sunday. So don't forget to get your oatmeal. You want to start the week off right with the muffler. You know what I'm saying? Come here, Harry. Come say hello to the fucking people on TV. Jimmy? I love this little guy here. Don't forget, if you want to drive your cats crazy right here, it's on Amazon. It's called Pet Green Catnip Buds. These buds look fucking good, too. Thank God I don't drink. I come home and fucking roll one of these things up. Look at this. It's not a fucking tree or something like that.
So speaking of oatmeal, one of the things we want to talk about is losing weight.
That's right.
Joey's lost a lot of weight, and you guys can't see me, but I've lost about 40 pounds, but I need to lose about another 100, something like that. And Joey's been one of the best guys for me since we've gotten together, taking me through it. Because, like, the usual diet, and I'm sure a lot of guys out there listening, or girls right now listening, have weight issues. And a lot of the diets and weight and working out, it just sucks. So Joey has the oatmeal. What else do you usually eat all every day?
I just put a banana in me. I'll fucking put a little oatmeal in me, a little Special K. And then I go for a little walk at about 8:30 when I take my wife to work. And then as the day goes, I'm basically a Weight Watchers guy. I'm always looking for new fucking recipes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Dolce book. So listen, man, it's like my religious beliefs. I'm a Catholic, but I try to borrow from the fucking Jews. I throw a little Buddhism in there, you know what I'm saying? A little Santeria. I put it all together. It's like the Jeet Kune Do of fucking religions. This is like the Jeet Kune Do of diets. So I do the Dolce diet, and I do the Weight Watchers diet put together. And then you work out like a motherfucker, and on the other side, you know, it's funny because when I was weighing 415,
mm-hmm.
and for a month, I would go box in the morning at Fortune's Gym, and I'd hit the bag, and I'd fucking, there was a McAfoley would train me in the ring,
mm-hmm.
and I did that for a while, and I lost 15 pounds in 60 days.
Oof.
And then I read something online that talked about that you could jump up and down for 92 fucking hours a day, but if you're not eating correctly,
mm-hmm.
that's the whole thing. You got to eat correctly. And I read it, and it made sense, and I had gone to a heart doctor. And that fucking guy said to me, you know, he goes, Joey, you've been coming in here for a while. My heart's strong, but he goes, you're too heavy. Your heart's strong. He goes, you should do something. Why don't you go to see, what's that diet? Not when they put the fucking staple in your stomach, but the other one, when they shorten your stomach. Gastro bypass.
Yeah.
He goes, you should look into it. And he goes that he could talk to a doctor and give it to me at cost, and they could do payments. And mm-hmm. I said, you know what? That's about 90 fucking needles. That's 2,000 fucking. I could see me fainting the whole fucking week. I go, forget about that shit. So before I looked into it, I had a friend, Marilyn Martinez, who died a couple of years ago of cancer. God bless her soul. But she was on Weight Watchers, and she lost a ton of fucking weight for a while. So I remember just walking into Weight Watchers, and it was just making little fucking changes. It wasn't making, bro, let me tell you something. If a fat fuck like me, stoner, could lose weight, anybody could lose weight. Because it's basically just switching it around. I went from eating, you know, this was my old breakfast. My old breakfast was like 3 eggs sunny side up, a half a pack of bacon, you know, toast, and about 3 cans of Coca-Cola. That was my old breakfast. And
yeah.
That was like whatever, what I would eat with my wife at 8 o'clock, you know, 7:30. Okay. As soon as she went to work or I smoked a fucking joint, I'd go to McDonald's and get a number one with a fucking Coke.
Jeez.
You know, and 2 apple pies. And then I'd smoke more pot and I'd go eat Chinese with my friends. You know, and Chinese will fucking, will fatten you the fuck up quick,
yeah.
You know, especially the Chinese I eat. And then I'd go home and eat the leftovers from the night before. And then I'd have dinner with my wife. Now, my wife is from the fucking South. You know, my wife will fry it if you let her. That bitch will fry a fucking piece of bread if you fucking let her. You know, so we'd go home and she'd make a huge dinner.
Okay.
And then I'd go out,
mm-hmm.
go to the Comedy Store, and I'd drink Coca-Colas.
Oh, jeez, that's killer.
And I'd drink 10 or 12 Coca-Colas, you know, all night at the bar with no alcohol in it. Then I'd go home, and on the way home, you got to stop and get a taco, a milkshake, yeah. something. So it was really easy. So with Weight Watchers, I went from that diet to basically one egg, a piece of toast, three slices of bacon, and a bowl of oatmeal and a bunch of fruit. See, the Weight Watchers diet I did before, see, I write everything down.
Mm-hmm.
So the Weight Watchers diet I did before, they had fruit was points, but I'm sitting there going, fruit's no points.
Yeah, it
pushes the shit
sense.
Out of your ass. So I cheated. I just ate as much fruit as I could. I went from fucking apples to bananas to peaches. Like, I just ate a banana. Fruit's the key. Like, if you're over 350 pounds, Weight Watchers says to eat fruit 7 fucking times a day.
And that's tough, man.
That's tough, but not really. That's an apple here, a banana there, a pineapple fucking here. You know, that's really tough. But, you know what? I dropped 100 pounds. I went all the way to 270. In the last 14 months, I've put on 30 pounds. I'm up to 300. I walk around at 298, 297. By the time the baby's born, I'd like to be down at 250, 245, you know? Mm-hmm. My head's going to be fucking ginormous. If you think, you know, my head, my nose, all you see is fucking nose and ears coming at you. And that's one thing they never had a diet for is the fucking coconut.
Yeah. You and know? Let me ask you, because you're a comic and you would on the road and being out at night, my big problem is I work a lot. There's nothing easier than a drive-thru. After you work 8-10 hours a day, you don't really want to go home and cook. Now, you're not doing that, but you're out on the road. You're out late at the store. You don't want to come home and start cooking a meal, so you stop at McDonald's or whatever. Is it just changing your mindset, or how did you get to doing Weight Watchers with that sort of stuff?
You just have to decide what the fuck you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to McDonald's and all those places, you're shooting yourself in the fucking foot anyway. You're shooting yourself in the fucking foot. If you're going to McDonald's constantly, you know what? I don't understand how McDonald's is still in business with everything I read. I don't understand how you got these little fucking kids, and I see them going into McDonald's. One thing about me, guys, if you look at my pictures, if I could find pictures of me as a child, I was always scrappy. I was skinny. I didn't get fucking fat till my 35s, 32s.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I used to walk everywhere. I would walk.
Oh, okay.
You know, I believe in fucking exercise, but I got what's called sleep apnea. One of the worst things you can fucking do is stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have to get up early, which is part of your problem.
Yeah, I'm working nights too. So it's tough.
But here it is, man. Plain and simple. It's whatever the fuck you want to do. You want to lose the fucking weight, you lose the fucking weight. I'm telling you that it's not hard at all to fucking lose weight. It's harder in your mind. People
mm-hmm,
think
yeah, exactly.
It's harder in your mind because Weight Watchers teaches you. For example, there's a place, Roma fucking Pizza, up here that they make sandwiches, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could go in there. We could get a sandwich, two sides, chips, and a soda. Or you go in there and get a splitter sandwich, get one side of red peppers in olive oil, which the only thing that has points is the olive oil, which is good for you.
Yeah.
And maybe get a glass of water or something. You could still eat. I could still go to fucking In-N-Out Burger and get a burger, a cheeseburger single with lettuce, tomato, no mayonnaise, and no fucking special sauce. I could eat a half order of fries because the burger with the points is 8. I could eat a half order of fries, which is 4, and then get a diet soda. So I just went to In-N-Out for 12 points.
As opposed to 2 burgers, the large
fries.
2 burgers,
a double-double, fries, a milkshake, a soda. And you know what? At first, you look at this meal, and you go, I'm going to be fucking hungry, blah, 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 blah. But you're not. After you finish there,
mm-hmm.
you're not hungry at all. You're like, what the fuck, man? If I could do this all the time, it wouldn't be that bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one thing you said to me when we started is going to Subway, which is, you can get healthy food there, but when you go in there, I always think, oh, I'm going to want the footlong. When you eat the footlong, you're full. If you had gotten the 6-inch and waited 10 minutes, you're going to be full. It's enough food.
If you eat the 6-inch butt, let me tell you something, man, I've always liked the best food. That's one thing about me. My mother did not let me eat fast food.
Okay.
You know, I'm from Jersey. I grew up around great delis.
Oh, yeah.
I would never let myself on a fucking, like, I was in Nashville, mm-hmm. and there was a Subway, and I go, let me go get a tuna. How bad could the fucking tuna be? It's fucking bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there one day, like any other stoner on fucking the world, and I'm watching a commercial, and they're talking about the turkey, jalapeno, avocado sandwich.
Oh, jeez.
Delicious. It sounds delicious. That's a delicious sandwich. If you take Thuman's fucking oven-roasted turkey, mm-hmm. and you slice that motherfucker thin, and you get a nice avocado and smear it, and you put some jalapenos, maybe a piece of provolone,
yeah.
that's a fucking dynamic sandwich right there. But when you go to fucking
Subway or Quiznos,
Subway,
or anything, yeah.
you taste that sandwich, and it's that fucking turkey salami shit.
Yeah.
How are you going to eat turkey? How do you call this a spicy Italian? This is a spicy fucking turkey. This ain't no spicy Italian. All that. You leave there, and an hour later, you're burping fucking cold cuts like a motherfucker. You're not supposed to be burping fucking cold cuts. Never.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I don't go to Subway. I know that Jared said he lost weight with Subway. Wait, 5 years from now, he's got a hemorrhoid the size of fucking Mount Eucalyptus coming out of his asshole.
Yeah.
Because all that shit will fucking kill you. And the lettuce is petrified sometimes. It's just a little petrified. You know, all that shit. You ever see the fucking people that work at Subway? They forget to put their gloves on.
That's the crazy. Worst thing for me.
Customer service in restaurants is to an all-time fucking... And it's not even customer service at a restaurant. It's customer service fucking anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into these places and these kids just look at you like you're a fucking three-headed fucking monster. You know, just either help me or don't fucking help me. I go in the stores looking to fucking spend a dollar. And I look at who's working there and how they treat you. And I've always said that in this economy right now, customer service is what's going to prevail.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a cheap price. Look at fucking Amazon. You could fucking do Amazon for fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Go on, get delivery to your house. You don't have to leave.
Shipping's
you
can free.
Just stay home and mind your fucking business, and that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think it's commission? Because, like, Best Buy and all those places, they don't make commission anymore. So what is their incentive to sell?
What,
Best Buys, any of those electronic places, any store? I don't know of any stores that work on commission anymore. Do you?
Yeah, people work on commission. I used to work at fucking Foot Locker. That's what I'm saying.
I think in the past they did, but I know at least at the big electronic stores, they don't work on commission. So that's why they don't know anything, and they don't... Actually, it was on Louis the other night. He went into a store, and a salesman didn't know anything about it, and then when Louis didn't want to help him out... The salesman tripped him, and it was hilarious. But it brought up a good point that what's their incentive to sell? It's why at good restaurants, when servers can make money, you're going to get good service. At least in my experience. I don't know. What do you think?
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't know, man. I've been up all night.
Well, if you go to fucking a nice restaurant and they know you're going to fuck... Listen, you should always fucking tip big. Let them, like my mother. My mother would get into a cab and throw the motherfucker at 20
mm-hmm.
just to know where she stood with the motherfucker before she even put the pedal to the metal, cocksucker. You know, so they know where you stand. You know where you stand. You go to a bar sometimes. The bar's packed. You throw that bartender a fucking 10 spot and a bud and a rock and coke or something. They could stand around me yelling, me. You're going to still get the fucking cocktail first. That's old school type mentality.
Yeah.
That's church of what's happening now. You walk in there, you give that fucking guy a bud, you slip in his hand like a soldier. And you see what happens. Speaking of fucking church of what's happening now, let's break over for some fucking... Jesus fucking cookies here. I got these things last night. They're like 2,000 grams of fucking reefer and a little... These are the new Church of What's Happening Now.
Is that an edible?
Yeah, these little edibles.
Holy shit.
What do you call those? Jolly Ranch is what you call them.
Oh, good Lord.
And you fucking take them like this. And right now, if you're at home, get on your hands and knees so I can throw a fucking blessing on you and shit. You know? Jesus took the fucking juice, passed it around his friends, and said, drink from it. The holy blood. This is my fucking blood. The new and everlasting blood. Drink of it and you'll live for fucking ever. And then he took after dinner, he took the fucking bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take this, all of you, and drink of it or eat of it. This is my body, the true and everlasting body of mad motherfucking flavor.
Holy shit.
So here it is. Boom. The church. Boom. Throw it, cocksuckers. That's how we're running here today. Where are these cats? Come see your dad, you fuck. Come here, mama. None of these cats are coming out. Lee's here today. Lee, what'd you get, a hooker last night or something? You got the fucking... You came in here, that you put the maluk on them. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, man. Usually they like me. I don't know what's going on.
Come on. Come on, Gregory. You don't want to say hello to the camera, cocksucker? And I'm going to show you. This is Greg. This is my girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gray's great.
This is my great-great, guys. This is my little girl. She's not that little either. She's about fucking 10. I love her with all my heart. This is my little great-great. Say hello, cocksuckers. Mm-hmm. Say hello, great-great. What's happening? I know I'm not in the mic, Lee. So what?
Who I turned it fuck? Up. I turned it up, man.
Yeah, they get it. Jesus Christ. They got to see what the beautiful cat is. I can't have a mic. Say now, hello, mama.
Now, Gray has an interesting story, right? Because when I first came over here, she was, like, living in this room mostly.
Yeah, because Gray used to live outside. And when I moved here, Gray started coming up the stairs and saying hello, scratching the door in the mornings and shit. My other cats would get fucking pissed. But then Gray got attacked by this douchebag fucking cat who I seen last night. He ripped open her little back.
Oh.
So I couldn't find her. She wouldn't come home. So me and my wife went hunting for Gray, and we found her around the corner. And we brought her back, and the landlord downstairs took her to the vet. But the problem was, once she came back, she wasn't allowed to go back outside.
Okay.
And she's already got dogs downstairs. That's right. This is my little girl. So I brought her up. I didn't want her to leave. She had grown up around here. She knows the ins and outs. She's not allowed to go out no more. Besides, I couldn't have her out. Look at her. She's my little black and white girl. Who says I hate black people? That's right, cocksucker. And that's it, guys. We're here. We're queer. It's a beautiful Sunday. This is like a really a run-through today. I wanted to just get out and I'll see you guys. Last week was just a run-through. We're probably going to start tomorrow officially, correct, Lily?
Yeah, we'll start tomorrow. And like people who've been asking, you can watch this on Stick'Em. It's if you just go to Joey's page, like a couple hours later, it's like YouTube. It takes a while to upload it. Everything will be there. The other one we didn't put up on iTunes. It was like a kind of a test. This one we'll put up, and it'll be up probably tomorrow, and everything will be up the day after. And just a reminder, we're looking for opening songs, and we got a couple, and we got some saying, oh, use this song, use that song. What we want is you guys to make us a song without anyone else's music, and send it to churchofwhatshappeningnowpod@gmail.com. Do it to Joey's Twitter @MattFlavor. Do it to me @LeeSyatt. Just give us whatever you got, man.
Just do what you got. Put it down. Fucking get a ukulele. You know what I listen to, guys. You know the fucking style of music I listen to. I listen to a lot of fucking crazy shit. And that's weird, man. I appreciate the people who did listen, sending me some emails and saying they've been listening to Aerosmith Rocks. Because, like I told you once, I told you a million times, guys, it's one of the best albums. We're going to start counting down. Every time I get on or every couple of days, I'm going to drop a new album on you. And there's thousands of them. I mean, listen, an album is not just 10 songs. It's the fucking order, the way they put it on there, the way you could fucking feel it going on there. Led Zeppelin 2 was one of my favorite fucking albums because how they dropped it on there. Look at this shit.
Watch out, Greg.
That's okay. She's a good lady. Put her on there. Pink Floyd, The Wall. Pink Floyd Animals got 4 songs. You know, Alice in Chains, Dirt. It's not just about 10 great songs. It's also how they put it together. Another great album is Judas Priest, British Steel. You don't have to be old to be wise. It's the 4th song on the second side, just to let you know where the fucking strength is coming from. You know what I'm saying?
Do you want
to
play it?
What, you don't have to be old to be wise? Fucking play it. Judas Priest, 80. I got the vapor pen out like a doctor. What's going on, Gray? Look, Gray came out with some fucking catnip. Who wouldn't? I gotta hide this because if not, I'm telling you, this fucking, look at these bugs on the catnip. This is the best shit in the world. Pet Greens catnip buds. Look at her losing mind. Come on, Gray. Gray don't fuck around.
You know? No.
What happened?
No. I'm saying she doesn't fuck around.
Nah. Those fucking candies are good. I'm about to eat another one, you know what I'm saying?
Here we go.
Oh, shit. A lot of people don't like these things. Like, the singer's gay, he's queer. Listen, I don't give a fuck. I knew, if you didn't know that guy was queer, I knew that guy was gay the first time I went to see him in 79. I seen Judas Priest in November 29, 1979, at the Palladium. This club is like a little fucking dumpy club in New York City in the 80s. As soon as I walked in there, bitch had a fucking little twisted leather hat on and a whip in his hand. That ain't a fag, I don't know what the fuck is. I didn't give a fuck. He was good now. This guy's voice was amazing from East and the East to fucking Helvetica Leather to this album. I loved it. 81 was when I stopped listening to him. That was the beginning of the end. And the album was so bad, I robbed the fucking jewelry store. That's how bad it was. Desert Plains was on there. And you got another thing coming or whatever. I can't deal with that shit. This is a badass song right here. But anyway, let's go back to Aerosmith Rocks. Play the whole fucking album. We're going to go over a couple songs here before I got to go to church. Let me tell you something. I'm going on my second Body of Christ Compels You.
Do you have a specific song you want to play from it?
Well, let's open up with the first one. Back in the motherfucking saddle again, bitches. And where's my Facebook people? Fucking Facebook. Too many Christians are on fucking Facebook. They really, really...
You said that. Did something happen or you just saw it and...
I could just tell. Facebook is like... I don't know. It's like going to the business part of town that's closed on fucking Saturday.
It's like the business
something.
Bar as opposed to like the fun bar.
Twitter, you go on Twitter, put a syringe up there, and somebody will come back with a fucking grenade at 1 a.m.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Twitter's always alive and kicking. Don't forget, if you want to save your lungs, I hear the Eureka Vapor Pen, NoHo Organic. This is the crazy thing about this song. Everybody's like, well, I remember being a kid and listening to people talking about, Aerosmith's not going to come back. They're going to break up. They're on heroin. Kick this. This is how they come to kick it. Let motherfuckers know what really happened. There was no Twitter then, no Facebook. Celtics were in first place in 75. Boston Red Sox were playing the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, it was a different fucking society.
Yeah.
Five little dirty motherfuckers out of Boston became fucking one of the best bands in the world. You gotta give these guys credit. Look at on top of the table like she owns the fucking thing. Play that fucking music. Okay. That's when she go to the next jam.
What's the name of it? They don't have the whole album here.
They don't have the whole... Yeah, they do.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Who do you think you're dealing with, dog? They got Aerosmith, everything on YouTube.
It's Last Child.
Listen to fucking Joe Perry's guitar on Last Child. Okay, this is what I'm talking about.
This is it?
This is pure heroin in your fucking soul. They don't even have music like this no more because nobody will take the chance. Nobody will go to Chinatown, pick up a bag of number two. You don't even have to shoot in your van. Do two little bumps, you see the fucking devil, he's on a harmonica and a fucking tambourine. Here we go, cricket. Oh shit. Now what was it? 74, 75 up in Beantown? You think they got time for these people from Boston? Fuck no. Oh shit. Wouldn't you get the worst fucking thing from it?
That's what happens when you deal with YouTube.
Yeah, you got the worst one. You can't hear the lyrics or nothing. There's already there's always and I'll tell you one thing about Aerosmith. It's not just Rocks, that's a great album. Get Your Wings, the one before that, is a great album. Draw the Motherfucking Line is a great album. The one, even the last Aerosmith album where Joe Perry left first. Joe Perry went on and started a band for a while. It was called the Joe Perry Project, and I seen him open up. Heart opened up for them in 81 at
Kevin
Radio's.
Hart?
What? Are you fucking retarded?
I don't know.
Hart. It's 1981, oh, Kevin okay. Hart. Hart, the fucking fat chick and the skinny blonde chick. Fucking Kevin Hart. This is what I got to deal with. Where is it? Where's Last Child? The good addition here. I'm trying to fucking take these guys into a psychological journey.
All right, let me get a good version.
We ain't fucking around here. I want these guys to learn something. Why do you think the church of what's happening now is coming up twice a week? People are fucking confused. I want you motherfuckers to stop with your fucking looking like everybody else. You gotta be the individual. Be yourself. No more sheep allowed. Blast that fucking thing, Tarzan. Listen to this motherfucker. Drop it. Oh shit. Oh shit.
Where are you getting
these musicians from?
It's on YouTube.
It's gotta sound better, man.
Maybe you know the song better than I do.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Fuck it. Just go on home. Listen, I don't give a fuck what you gotta do. Go to Amazon, go to your grandmother's house, look through her album collection. If she ain't got fucking Aerosmith Rocks, your grandmother was not a fucking cocksucker. So maybe that's why she's over there alone and shit, going to bingo with the fucking priest and a bunch of other ugly women. Who the fuck am I talking about? Look, a super bad came in. For some reason, my allergies have been bothering me.
Oh, they're awful.
I don't want people to think that my nose is leaking because I was out doing fucking bumps in some fucking Puerto Rican. It's so funny, man. You know, I did coke for 30 years, and the funniest thing is that I always think of this one dealer I had here because it was always such a blast to cop from him. I didn't meet him. I met him in a parking lot in Hollywood.
You met him in a parking
lot? Yeah, like we were just talking one night, and he came up to me, this Mexican guy, and he's like, you know anybody looking for shit? And I was like, yeah, me.
You know, fuck yeah, I do.
You knocked on the right door, and he talked to me in Spanish, que tengo esto way, blah, 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 blah. I go, all right. He opened up his hand, he had a coke rock in his hand. I took it, you know, I go, how much? He goes, before he even gave it to me, he wanted to make sure I wasn't a cop. So you know how these fucking momos nowadays, excuse me, are you a cop? This motherfucker just took a coke rock and put it in my nose. He didn't play with you.
Wow.
And you didn't fight it. You didn't, like, he just put that little rock in your nose. That made sure that you weren't a fucking cop.
Okay.
Then he did business with you. So he gave me the coke rock, and he goes, listen, if you ever want a cop, go by Western and Sunset there. There's like an old building or whatever the fuck there is there, McDonald's, and there's a Burger King on the corner. You ever go over there? There's like a...
Yeah.
It's like, and it's really empty at night, that area. You think that Western and Sunset would be busier, but it's kind of weird. So he goes, just drive over. I go, do I beat you? Do I beep you? Do I call you? He goes, no. Just go to Western and Sunset. I'm there after 11. Don't worry. Drive around and I'll find you. I'm like, drive around, I'll find you.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you get to fucking Western and Sunset. You drive down the block, go around. There's like a Thai massage place. You go, you make a left, and you come right back to get to Sunset, and you drive back the other direction going west. And all of a sudden, like, I passed Western, mm-hmm. and I'm driving, and I look out my rearview mirror, and I see this fucking Mexican guy chasing me, like, chasing me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I go, oh, my God, it's him. So I pull right over on Sunset, and he would come up to the car window, go, hey, how you doing in Spanish? Get on the way. What's going on? And then he fucking just put a rock of coke in my nose while I was driving, and then he go, what do you got? And I give him the money, and he go, open your hand, and he put the fucking... coke rock in your hand, you put in the middle compartment, and pew, head home before the fucking cops come out. That was hysterical. Another night, one of the funniest cops I ever had. I was living in Jersey. It was like, was it 94? It was the late 80s. And me and my buddies were hanging out. Hold on, watch this far here. Maya Santana! That's a good fart right there. These cats will blow after this. Ooh, oh, that's a good breakfast blend.
Oh, thank God your fan's on.
As they call it. So we went over. I'll never forget this. And my buddy goes, listen, we're in the city. Why don't we just fucking cop in the city? So we pull over, and there's this black hooker, and she's kind of cute. My buddy pulls up there, and she's like, where the fuck can we get some blow? And the bitch is like, right here. I got it or something. My buddy goes, so how much for a gram? We didn't even know. We had nothing. We knew how much a gram was in those days.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy goes, what can I get for $100?
Okay.
That's what he asked her. And she goes, give me the money. And he gave the money. And all of a sudden she goes, put out your hand. And he put out his hand. He goes, both of them. And he put out both hands.
Yeah.
And she just went in her purse and started emptying these little crack vials of fucking blow. Like 20 of them. She's like,
Jesus.
And we're like, what the fuck? We didn't know what crack was. We were still confused. It had to be like 84 or something.
Okay.
90, 80. And we look at it, and we're like, what the fuck is this? And she's like, that's crack, bitch. You know, you just got yourself some crack. And we're like, how do you do this? And she's like, you got to smoke it. And we're like, where do we smoke it? And that bitch had a pipe that she was smoking. We gave her like $20, bought the pipe from her and shit. And I'll never forget, I smoked it. The next day, I had to brush my teeth with fucking gasoline.
Oh, God. That's something I've never gone into. Just anything other than weed, I've never...
Thank God. But you don't need fucking nothing. All you need is reefer. You don't even need fucking alcohol.
I don't like drinking that much, man.
No, I've never seen you drink. I don't like fucking drinking either. And people that get drunk, sometimes they just tear. I don't know how to expect it sometimes. I don't know how to... Like, I went to Denver, and I was doing the show with Joe, and we were having a great time, and I had a great time in Denver with the people. And next night, I went to the UFC. You know that... The Mad Flavor World you made me when I'm talking to the kids.
Oh, yeah, and the girls dancing, and, yeah.
Right. So I'm there talking to these fucking kids, watching the Frankie Edgar fight, and right away, a girl comes over.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Some fucking drunk girl trying to light a cigarette.
Yeah, I hate drunk girls. They're the worst.
Now I'm watching. I got my eye on the fucking camera. The phone, the TV is right there.
Uh-huh.
I'm fucking watching this. I'm watching this. you know, it's like a minute in, the rounds are 5 minutes, right? And
yeah.
There's five rounds in this fight. This bitch popped out in the second round and sat there next to me and started asking me questions and poking me, like poking me. And she's like, you have to walk over and meet my husband. I'm like, listen, I'm watching the fucking fight.
I'm surprised you let her go past 2 seconds.
No, bro, I had my eyeball on the fucking fight. She could talk all she wants, you know. It's not being rude or whatever. I'm watching the fight.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me a ticket to come in here and watch the fight. You know, we go down there at the fights. I usually don't want Joe to go by himself. So I go at 4:45 with him. So I sit there the whole fucking night.
Oh,
by
Jesus.
6 o'clock, the edible has kicked in. I'm fucking racked. And, you know, I'm on my way, so I like to walk around. You
yeah.
know, you just can't eat those fucking hot dogs and pretzels. You walk around. At most of these arenas today, they have real food.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes I just want to stretch my legs. I had the knee surgery. So I went to this corner. And the kids came up to me, and they were fun. The kids were fun because it was in between fights. I had a good time talking to them. It was the fucking lady when she came over, and the lady was cute, and that had nothing to do with it. I'm watching the fight, and she's poking me, and she's asking me if I have a lighter, and who do you like? We're going for this, and I'm like, listen, this is a great fight. We'll talk after. And she says, starts telling me that her husband wants to meet me to walk down with her to her seat.
Jesus
and I'm
Christ.
Like, they're not going to let me in the area without a ticket. Yes, yes, they will. They'll let you in the area. They'll let you in the area. She's giving me all this shit. And I'm like, lady. And also the third round starts.
Yeah.
And she's still fucking hawking me. And I go, lady, please. After fucking two rounds, I had to say something. I wasn't being rude. I was like, lady, fucking please. Can I watch this? So she ends up going to the bathroom. So I'm outside. And usually when somebody gets knocked the fuck out or whatever, or at the end of the fight, I'm out of there. Because I don't want to walk out of it with 90 people.
Okay.
I want to walk out of it with like 3 or 4 people and be outside. I go outside.
Yeah.
You know. So the Edgar fucking fight ended. I run outside. And all of a sudden my phone starts ringing because I had gone with Duncan or Ari. All of us. You know, we're all calling each other. Doug Benson was with me. So was Brandon Welsh. So we all were on the phone waiting. So sure enough. The phone calls, and it's Doug or Joe, and they're like, hey, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in front of the place. I'm not fucking kidding you, Lee. A guy comes up to me behind me, and right in my ear goes, Da! Lucy Snorbush! Right? And I'm
like, oh, my God.
And I'm like, can you hold on for 1 second? Because I can't hear them.
Yeah.
He's like, Lucy Snorbush. And he keeps yelling Lucy fucking Snorbush in my ear. Lucy Snorbush, Lucy Snorbush. I finally go, hey, you fucking cocksucker. Can't you see I'm on the fucking phone, you fucking douchebag?
That's the worst.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Are you that fucking drunk? I go, let me finish the fucking conversation, and then I'll do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Lee, do you know I turn around to talk to Joe or Doug, and again the guy yells in my ear?
That's why I don't like alcohol.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, and that's the shit that gets me all pissed off. Listen, man, in my life, even when I was a child, I never approached nobody. I approached Julius Erving,
mm-hmm.
and I think I blinked the fucking Richard Gere in studio that night to see if he would suck my dick. But, you know, somebody's on the phone. I mean, the way I was fucking raised, somebody's on the phone, you wait for them to get the fuck off the phone, or you do what the fuck you gotta do. I don't know who they're talking to. You see somebody on the phone, that's just a polite thing to do, is, you know, to see who the fuck they're talking to and just say, excuse me. Not even. You're on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
But these people are coming to my ear, and I enjoy doing the podcast, and I enjoy doing everything the fuck I do, Lee. If not, I wouldn't do it. I don't
Absolutely.
Do this for fucking. I don't do this because I want to do this. I do this because I like talking to people. I like doing stand-up comedy. I love doing this shit. But that's the one fucking part that just kills you when you try to tell somebody, hey, you know, when you come up to me after one of my shows, I'll basically do anything with you.
Yeah, you're out there probably for at least an hour after the
2 hours talking to people. I love it. I love to. I want to know where you came from, what made you drive. You know, people say to me, hey, man, the story about this helped me go through this. This morning we're talking about being a fat fuck like me and trying to lose weight. All this helps. People connect with you for a certain reason.
Yeah.
And that's what I always knew. Like, for years, I didn't connect with people because of my comedy. If you don't have to see me 5 years ago, you would have probably thought I was funny or whatever. But you weren't going to go home and look me up. It wasn't until I started talking about mugging hookers. And you know, but with the mugging hookers, I also shared other, you know, positive fucking experiences.
Yeah.
And I only mugged one hooker.
Only one.
One time. Then you feel fucking
You get
bad.
One. Yeah.
I never liked doing none of that shit, you know. Sometimes when something bad happens to you in your life and you get angry at society, you get angry at yourself, you get angry at the fucking God that you worship, whatever the fuck. you tend to do shit that you don't really want to do. You just do it maybe to fucking cover up the pain. Maybe that's what I did at that time. You know what I'm saying, Lee?
Yeah.
Lee, what's going on? If you're going to play music for me, don't make me have to fucking play music over here and me switch this motherfucker up. I told you this before we did the podcast, that we got to figure out how I can play music on my end, because I know this music. I know all these songs. And I know where to go.
All right, I'll plug it into yours and you can play.
Yeah, because I got to control the music over here. Now I can't give the people what the fuck they want. You know what I'm saying?
All right, you know the music, so.
I got to love the music because I got to give these motherfuckers something to get fired up about. I mean, this morning I played a couple songs, but they weren't, I'm getting fucked up on those candies.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Did they hit you?
It may be time for another one, bitches. It's the Lord's
Day. And it's not even 7 a.m. yet.
Not even 7. Who gives a fuck, man? Listen, this has always been a great jam for me. I always liked Black Sabbath, Into the Void. You know, the first time I bought Master Reality, I wouldn't fucking listen to it. I listened to it like once or twice, and I was scared. And I never fucking, liked it again. And then finally, as I got older one day, I fucking listened to Master Reality and I really dug it again. Put on a little Master Reality, Lee. See what you got for them.
Which one? Black Sabbath Into the Void?
Fuck yeah.
All right, so I'm going to play it for us first, see if you like it, and then if it sounds good, I'll play it for them.
Fuck it, Momo. You see the things I gotta deal with on fucking line. Listen to this torture. Yeah, here we go, baby.
All right, so I'll play it for them.
First time I listened to this album, I was about 15, and I went for a fucking $10 bag of cheese. Did it by myself. And the exercise on dirty regular television. I almost had a goddamn heart.
Jesus Christ, yeah, especially with this music. Yeah, the Exorcist. You know what, I've never liked scary movies, man. It's not something that I do well with, but you love
them. No, I don't like stupid scary movies. If somebody fucks people up. You
know what I'm saying? Oh no, well not even that, but even like the Exorcist, and there's that new movie coming out where the Jews are taking over people. Have you seen that? It's like
The Possession.
Yeah.
I heard it's fucking terrible. First of all, Jews won't walk into the fucking no, the devil goes crazy. I can't collect them. What are you gonna do? Here you go, blast that brother.
Sounds better, right?
Now I love you, motherfucker. Here we go. Hit it, Lee.
They can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. John Ozzy Osbourne, when he was real, John Ozzy was the guy who was the king. John, who was singing when he was doing his album. This, Paranoid, when he wrote Fairies Wear Boots. And he was walking around, and one night he seen a fag with boots on. He went fucking bananas, and he wore Fairies Wear Boots.
And now he has a reality show, or had a reality show. What do you think about that, when the rock stars you grew up with are doing reality shows on MTV?
Listen, brother, look, let's talk about something. Turn this music off, okay? You do your best work when you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
As we've noticed. You do your best work when you don't give a fuck, okay? What that means is, you listen to the first four albums of somebody and you're like, fuck, this is tremendous. And then what happens is they got a little money thrown at them and they're not as hungry. Listen, everybody should have a great first fucking album. It's the second album that fucking kills you.
Yeah.
Everybody should have a... What was the question?
No, I was talking about the, like we talked about last week, how the lead singer of Aerosmith was on American Idol and Ozzy had an MTV show. Like, just when you see your heroes doing stuff like that, like you're talking about, they did heroin and they didn't care and they did all this awesome music.
Well, now they got money thrown at them.
Yeah.
And you know, I was an Ozzy fan when fucking up to Black Sabbath. And I was an Ozzy fan for the first two or three albums. Then it went into a different direction. He was barking at the moon. He was doing all this shit, and it didn't really catch on for me no more. But it's like us right now, you know. I come on here for a long time. I did stand up for 10 fucking years out here, and I did stand up for 5 before that, and I got moderate success. I got into some movies and stuff like that. I did a podcast with Felicia. I did the Joe Rogan podcast a bunch, and I realized that, you know what, I had nothing to fucking lose. When you have nothing to lose in your life, that's the best position you're in. So I told these stories that were all real about my life growing up, that I would tell people for years, and they go, "Dog, why don't you talk about that on fucking stage? You know, talk about these stories on stage." And I go, "Dog, I can't say this." I finally opened up my soul to these people.
Yeah.
And they took the ride with me. You know, I do this podcast in the mornings, especially this one. I do the one with Felicia, and I do Joe's and Duncan's, and I love doing those. But I wanted to do this podcast, The Church of What's Happening Now, to let people know what the fuck was in my head.
Yeah.
You know, and I will tell you something. I don't care how many sponsors I get or whatever, I'm still going to be me because I have nothing to lose. There's people that money changes them. And when the money comes in, they get like, what do you call that shit? Like
they censor
watch,
themselves?
They watch what the fuck they're doing because they don't want to lose that. I.e., John Jones 2 weeks ago. He's a fucking champion. He has everything to lose by going in that ring with Chael Sonnen.
And nothing to gain.
And nothing to gain. And that's what a lot of people understand. Everybody's sitting there putting John Jones down. Why are you putting this kid down? Somebody's calling out your challenge who has nothing to lose, who came off a fucking loss, has fought nobody at 2 or 5.
A bad loss.
You know, he's coming off a fucking loss. You know, at least come up and fight somebody at 205 before you call out John Jones. And the public is like, "Oh, John Jones a pussy." No, this becomes a business. This isn't like I told Tripoli and the Punch Drunk Dudes. This isn't two Puerto Ricans at White Castle anymore. This isn't about just fighting because I'm tougher than you. It's a business. He's got 2 daughters and a wife and, you know, a family and whatever the fuck he's got. Mm-hmm. You know, and he makes mistakes like everybody else. But when you have a lot more to lose, you protect what you have, you know? When you have nothing to lose like me, I mean, fuck it. You know what? I survived all these years on what I got. I don't need fucking money. Money's not going to do nothing for me at this point in the game. I'm happy just being fucking me. We have a great time. We fart. All women walk into that fucking swamp ass. You know what I'm saying? So, that's what happens. You know, when Ozzy got that reality show and I heard about it, I'm not going to lie to you. I grew up on Ozzy, bro. If it wasn't for Ozzy, I'd be fucking dead.
Yeah.
I believed, you know, Master Reality. I believe Sabotage. I was telling Duncan and Burke that I would go home at night, you know, just to move on to the next level of my life after I was a kid and my mother died. I would go home and do a hit of acid and listen to what do you call that shit? Black Sabbath Sabotage. I would really listen to it and see what he was saying. So when he got the reality show, absolutely I turned it in. I turned it on, I should have turned those motherfuckers in. I turned it on and watched him. Yeah, part of me, it broke my heart. That was my childhood idol. And I see him now with black fucking nails and eye makeup on, and they say he's got a ghost fucking singer, whatever. That doesn't bother me. I loved him when he was John Osborne. Ozzy is what the American public bought into.
Okay.
You follow me? I knew him when he was John Osborne from England. Not that I knew him.
I've
listened to him.
I never heard of John Osborne before. I've only heard Ozzy.
That's his real fucking name. His real fucking name. His name is John Ozzy Osborne or whatever the fuck. So that's when I was into him. It's like anybody else, man. You know, an athlete comes into the league. He's fucking great. And all of a sudden he gets $15 million a year. He's not going to dive on the floor no more. He's not going to be Larry Bird. That's why so many people admire Larry Bird, because in the point of his fucking career, he would chase a ball and scrape his elbow and go into the stands. You know, there's some people that you've seen Major League, the movie.
Yeah.
You know, when he would say, what does the third baseman say? I'm not going to...
I don't remember.
I'm not going to pick up the ball because I might ricochet off this face. People don't, you know, they worry about that. You have to live your life without a fucking safety net. Once you have that safety net, and that's what happens, you're not the same person anymore. I love doing this shit. I really do, Lee, because the reason why I do these podcasts and I talk the shit I do is because there's a lot of young kids right now that are walking around the same way I did at 21 or 22 or 28 or 30, confused. And, you know, I'm 49 now, Lee, and I swear to God, with the knowledge I have, I wish I had 10 more years. I wish I could add 10 years to my life. But you know what? The sad scenario is I can't.
Yeah.
And for years, when I was a young guy and I was out there doing what I was doing, older people would come to me and talk to me and give me advice, and I always go fuck yourself. You don't know what you're talking about. And now they did know what they were talking about. And the only thing I could wish is people take from me what they can. And we're going to finish this joint. We're going to get the fuck out of here for the day. That's it.
Sounds good, man.
How long have we been on for?
Just under an hour.
Just under an hour?
Yeah.
It feels like 2 fucking years.
I know, right? And we have had 1,500 people listen. So.
All right. And they're getting ready for church.
For a Sunday morning.
Yeah, and they're getting ready for church. And at least you got to spend an hour with Uncle Joey, smoke a bone. We ate some edibles. I introduced you to the cats. We talked about a couple interesting subjects. I farted.
Yeah.
Who farts on a fucking podcast and you hear it with that intensity? Because a lot of people thought it was real quick. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? But it's beautiful to start the week off with you. And, you know, that's another reason. People always say to me, oh, Joey, you don't work Sunday nights. I got a couple reasons I don't work Sunday nights. I fucking hate working Sunday. On the seventh day, God rested and made fucking Black Sabbath. And number two, because I want to do a podcast on Mondays. I like being home on Mondays. I like being focused on Mondays because it sets me up for the rest of the fucking week.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have my friends call in. We're going to have Lubes call in. We're going to have my friend DeVille's call in. We're going to have the North Bergen Minute. We get to tell stories. When I robbed the gas station with the water pistol, shit like that. I'm going to have my boy Joey Filato call in. So we got a lot of shit going on. Tomorrow we got another one.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate you guys turning this on Sunday, man. You know, I didn't get up at 5 for fucking my health here. I mean, nobody's cutting a check. I got up for you motherfuckers to smoke dope with you guys. I know half he is at the house going, fuck it. I'm going to roll up a bone with my Uncle Joey and we're going to smoke through osmosis. That's what we do here. Look at the fucking cat. She hasn't moved in an hour.
No, she's a part of it.
What are you doing? Huh? What are you doing?
Now, I know a lot of people out there are excited for it. I don't know if you watch. Do you watch Breaking Bad?
No.
No, you don't?
Why would you watch Breaking Bad when you lived Breaking Bad?
That was my question. Are any of these shows or movies or anything like that anything like reality? Or is it just it's just all fiction and it's just nothing like that at all?
Listen, man, you know, they use consultants and shit like that. All right, I was watching, what's the show I watch on Friday nights or whatever, Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few friends on Sons of Anarchy and I watch the fucking show. You know, so you're going to tell your wife about killing people? Your old lady knows about killing people. You know, I don't like when they all sit together and they vote because if I go, let's fuck Lee up the ass, I got to vote with 8 people. Those 8 people could take you to fucking jail. I don't like talking with more than 2 fucking people in a room.
Okay.
So there's little things like that that you really have to think about and say, what the fuck? You know, I was watching an episode of Sopranos in a hotel when I was in Sacramento and it was the one when they were going to shoot somebody. So Tony Soprano told the guy with the hair and Sharippa to take care of this guy, and then that guy went and told Paulie, and then Paulie hired a guy, and then he went down and told somebody else. So there was 7 fucking people involved in this hit.
Mm-hmm.
7 people. That means there's 7 people get pulled over and have an ounce of blow in it and have a story for the cops.
Okay.
Is that realistic? No. If I was going to kill somebody and I was a gangster, I go to my underboss or whatever and go, listen, this guy's got to go. There's 2 of you. 2 years is better than fucking 7.
Okay.
So I've never understood that concept on them. When I watch a TV show, I'm like, that's got to be a fucking bullshit. That's got to be bullshit.
Okay.
Nobody would have a fucking, we're gonna move guns. Here's 7 of us. No. The hierarchy is going to talk about it, and the underlings are going to stay outside. It's shit for them not to know.
Okay.
You know, the more people that know your crime, the more people that can testify against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if 80 years is like, yeah, we killed fucking Joey Diaz, 80 years at one time, you're fucking living on eggshells. You don't know when that fucking mark is going to come in. That's what that's rule number 4 of the church of what's happening now. Karma is a motherfucker. If you do it, expect a receipt.
Really?
Because life will always give you a fucking receipt. So, when I watch those type of shows and how they do it, Breaking Bad I've never really watched. I've never gotten into it.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing. No, I know. I just got to get into it from the beginning. I'm like most people. Once the show ends, I'll get the fucking DVD. A friend will give me the box set and I'll watch them without commercials and I'll really get into it. I just, you know, Lee, man, you know, I always loved sports.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on sports. Jesus Christ, I went to 5-star basketball camp. I was going to go to St. Anthony's in Jersey City when the Hurleys were there. The little Hurley kids were kids, and I knew the old man, you know. And I love playing basketball, you know, and I love watching college basketball. I love watching pro football, and I would watch baseball. But at 16, my mother died, and I had to make a hustle, and I had to make a living. So I learned how to watch what's fucking important.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody wants to watch a fucking game. But this is what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So I watch sports today. I really don't know what's going on because now I understand you can live without sports. When I see these guys walking around with their fucking jerseys on Sundays, I'm like, really, guy? But that's what they're into. I'm into weed. They're into, that's what they're into. So I can't be mad at them for being me. I'm into the team that covers the fucking spread. If I'm going to watch a game, I want to watch the fucking game. I'm a Cuban Jew. I got a hat that says -7 on it. I don't give a fuck about Broncos or fucking Chargers or Lakers and none of that shit. Although I do like to watch the Lakers. So it's really weird. I like sports, but you realize that you have so many fucking different things going on. You just can't pay attention to everything. You want to read a book and try to get knowledge coming in. You try to write. You know, now you got to keep up with movies. You got to keep up with all these fucking things. And it's weird because a lot of people always ask me about movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always gotten the Rogan bandwagon. Whenever I get on the Rogan thing, we start talking about 70s movies.
Oh, they're great.
In the 70s. And you know what? They're great, but they're a little slow for most people. You know, we're from a fucking we want it situation. We're from the church or the new church of what's happening now. We want it now. So it's kind of fucking tough to wait for that stuff. And when you watch a movie from the 70s, your patience level has to be unbelievable. You got to be really stoned because you're so used to explosives and shit happening. Conversations are quicker. So the movie for this week, I'm going to give you guys, that's a fucking classic. What can I give them, Lee? A nice 70s. You know, it's a great fucking movie that I realized last week, guys. I'm going to give you a movie in the martial arts genre. See, and here's the problem with it. That a lot of people, they released all those Bruce Lee movies with different titles. So what was released as The Chinese Connection is now Fist of Fury.
Okay.
The way I look at it is the Fist of Fury was the first one. Chinese Connection is when his teacher gets killed and he avenges his teacher and he fucking fucks up the Japanese school and he hangs him. Let me tell you something. If you have time this weekend, please watch the second Bruce Lee movie, which is The Chinese Connection.
Okay.
When they kill his teacher, when they poison the teacher. That is when I got it on DVR. I got it on DVR. Whenever I'm a little depressed, I watch it. Watch that movie. Watch the passion on Bruce Lee's face. That was his second movie. He was still tight with Steve McQueen. He would call him for acting. Watch that fucking movie, guys. Chinese Connection with Bruce Lee. And that's all. That's it for today. I don't know what else to fucking tell you. What do you think, Lee? Did we forget anything?
No, man. Since I'm kind of busy, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to build the Facebook page for the show. And we want all you guys to go there and comment on the movie, talk about the movie, talk about the music. Just, we want this to be a community of people.
Talk about the motherfucking movement, the church of what's happening now.
Yeah.
We're getting ours back. Today I gave you rule number one, which is mind your fucking business. Rule number four, karma's a motherfucker. Don't do it unless you want a fucking receipt. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put you motherfuckers together so when you get out of the house, listen, I can do this podcast at 10 o'clock at night. I can do this at 3 in the morning with Lee. I do it now because what I'm trying to do is get you ready for the motherfucking day. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Go out there. Go out there and fucking do what you need to do. Get your dick sucked. Go out there and exercise. Go out there and get some sunlight. Eat good. Enjoy your family today because this is only one life, man. Fuck all that nonsense. Stay black. What else we got this week?
Nothing, man. We're going to be back tomorrow.
Labor Day.
Send us some emails. churchofwhatshappeningnowpod@gmail.com. Send us questions, anything you want to ask Joey. And we want to read it on air, man. I mean, you're part of this with us, and just send it, and we'll make the show as long as we can. If we have stuff to talk about, we'll go 2 or 3 hours.
You know, Lee is Jewish, so for all you Jews, you got a fucking compadre on board. I'm a Cuban Jew. You know, the whole fucking thing, we're bringing the yarmulke back. Hold on. Oh, one last fart. That was 3 farts in a podcast. Who gives you that type of entertainment, huh? What time are we coming on tomorrow, Lee?
I want to do same time, 6 o'clock?
6 a.m. Let's do 6 a.m. tomorrow. I'll see you motherfuckers at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Don't forget, take it with you. I love you guys for watching, and stay black, motherfuckers.
Bye, guys.